Hello, everybody, and welcome to the show. This is This Week in Mormons. Let's get into the show.
Choo-choo, choo-choo.
That's the thing I was trying. We're just giving it a shot.
Right. All
right, everybody. I am your loyal host, Al. We have a unloyal host who's not with us today, Jeff. And he's replaced forever now by friend of the show, Steve Solberg. What's up, Steve?
What's up? Hey, I like that we're together again, even though we were together just this morning, but now we're together across the country.
Yeah, this was kind of genius of us. Steve was kind enough to let me stay in his apartment, which I'm still in Salt Lake City. And then we waited to record until he flew halfway across the country and is now sitting in a hotel room with bad Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
We felt like that would give us a better experience, a more authentic experience.
Hampton Inn and Suites. I wish it was a Marriott. That feels like that would be appropriate for This Week in Mormons.
I think Hampton is owned by Marriott, maybe. No? Who knows?
It probably is. No, it's Hilton. It's a Hilton.
Feel like we could have done this strategically because I was worried with the one microphone and us both having to lean our faces into it to get good sound.
That's true. We tested that out earlier.
That might have got shady.
I don't know how much TWIM listeners get to hear you sing. I feel like a fair amount, but they haven't experienced you sharing a microphone singing with a guitar, which is really a pretty incredible experience.
Yeah, I don't claim to know how to play the guitar, but I also, in the same breath, do not pretend to not like playing the guitar pretend.
That's so what I liked was the boldness of it. Sunday morning, you picked up the guitar, didn't even matter what note was even close, and it was just strumming away.
I think that's actually a thing, though. A good guitar player is 80% confidence? And I just lead in with that.
I don't know if that's true, but you have 80% confidence in the guitar. Probably about 95% confidence, to be honest. It was a very confident. I mean, I was like, wow, I wonder what my neighbors are thinking right now, because this is pretty loud, but we had a good time.
Thank you, Steve. I did not ask you to say that. That was just a kind, sincere compliment from the heart.
Just right from my heart.
I feel like I need to explain what's going on here. So Jeff is gone. Might be dead. I'm not sure. He had his baby. Well, he didn't. He did very little to have his baby. His wife had a baby this week. We are now graced with the presence of Guy Mathias Openshaw. It's actually Mathis, but I refuse to call him that. I will call him Guy Mathias.
Mathis?
Because it's a stronger name.
Yeah, Mathias is way stronger.
Yeah. No, nah. I know.
You got to be honest.
He had to bring it. His comment is he said, this has been fantastically exhausting. It's like enduring jet lag every day with no reprieve. So Jeff, you have our condolences, my friend, as you learn to be a papa. I hope all of the bad movies he watched have prepared him. He went through a marathon, Steve, to catch you up. He went through a marathon of watching, like newborn baby films. So like Father of the Bride 2.
Okay.
9 months with Hugh Grant, things like that. You know, just the normal curriculum.
Yeah, that's definitely not going to help at all. But but kind of a fun idea, I guess. Still named his kid Mathis. What the heck did he call his kid? It should be Mathias.
Mathias. We're going to go with Mathias.
I feel like
if you lead strong, again, calling a child by his name is 80% confidence. And if you just lead in with a strong name, hey Charlie, most kids I've met have not been named Charlie, but they're not going to tell me that. I'm going to go right in with it.
Charlie is one of the most famous names of the internet. Charlie bit my finger. If it was Billy bit my finger, not as strong. Charlie.
Charlie is one of the most famous names in the internet. So, so Steve, tell me, how has your week been? Or I guess your last month since we've spoken. How are you?
Right. It has. Last time we talked.
Catch me up on the updates of life.
The newest.
This is the thing we do. We just talk.
We just riff and do updates. This is cool. I like
This is
it.
fun. This is nice.
Last time we talked, I was driving in a car, and I was excited about, oh, I was wanting to catch up on your trip to Europe because you went to Estonia with, and I wasn't able to go to Estonia. I've been working a ton of events, so doing a lot of races. So I do the race announcing gig, for like
As a
Ragnar.
comedian, do you get to take much comedy to race announcing? Are you like, hey, you finished in a record time? Just kidding.
Look at this guy. Look at this. Yeah, it's whatever you can come up with on the fly. A lot of them have silly names, and so you like goof around with that. Not like
Like
people's
Mathis, Guy
names.
Mathis?
Like
What would
Guy
you say for a Guy
Mathis.
Mathis?
I'd be like, Guy Mathis. First off, I mean, the name Guy is kind of funny because it just feels like you didn't name your kid. You're like, who's this guy? And it's like, well, that's it. It's Guy. You just said it.
yeah, his other friend or his next brother will be Fella and then Chief.
Exactly. Here's Fella, Chief, and what's her face? It's like, whatever. I mean, it's fun though. Guy's a good name. I know everybody I know named Guy, I actually like them tremendously. So I don't know. I guess it's a win, but at the same time,
It could go either way at this point.
it's a
The
weird
jury's
name.
out. He's literally like days old. But
And
yeah.
he's already got two people. Well, we're not making fun of him. We're
No,
just
we're welcoming
commenting.
him into the world. There's a difference.
High five, guy. Yeah, we're definitely into
He's
it.
gonna have a very easy name for teachers, though. I feel like he's got a bright future. I mean, Jeff essentially named him Asterisk. Right? It's like you could be, it's a wild card. He could be
Asterisk.
anybody could call him whatever you want, and he's fine.
Ask.
Bravo, Jeff. You
Do
are a
whatever you
sly
want.
dog.
Yeah, nickname, dude, nickname kids. Did you have a nickname growing up?
a couple nicknames, not repeatable here. They weren't
Oh,
friendly
well, there
ones.
you go. Okay, they weren't friendly ones. Dang it.
They were more shouted at me instead of like
Did I just,
endearingly.
you were picked on a little bit?
No, I was enormous. I was white in California, which caused me to be a minority. And so
I
I
see.
got picked on a little bit there, especially being a big fella, you know, a tall kid. In second
Yeah.
grade, I was taller than my teacher. I didn't know that was a thing. It was
And that's
very,
not, and that
very
was not,
empowering.
I would think that that would be kind of cool, right? Like,
Yeah, but then you're sort of the you're the guy that needs to be beat up in order for everybody else to be cool. So they're
oh.
like, "Can you take the big kid?" I'd be like, "Guys, can we be friends? We don't have to do this.
Could you take the big kid down? And you're like, look, you can take him down. It's fine.
what
Don't
if I just don
prove yourself.
you winner? You could be winner and go do what you need to do."
That's interesting because we don't think about that. We always love to cheer for an underdog. And so just because you're 6'7" as a 10-year-old, they automatically assumed that if they took you down, they were taking you
Yeah.
down.
Boy, in second grade, those allegiances will turn in a heartbeat. Sergio, best friend one day, I'm hanging from the monkey bars, punch right to the gut. You didn't even see it coming. It was a
Jeez.
mess. It was a mess.
Sergio, huh? I mean, that's another name. Kids' names, did you find, see, now I find that the recalling kids' names from when you were a kid are very different. Like the kid who, and I'm just going to say his name here, no apologies, because I don't know if he's a Twim fan. Not that I don't want him to be, but Dino Traverso, he picked on kids. He was kind of a bully towards me. And I think that name sounds like he would be a bully a little
Yeah,
bit.
no, his parents called that from a mile away. They named their kid like Buster or something.
Dino,
Well,
yeah.
Beefcake. Beefcake probably better than Buster. Buster's been ruined by Arrested Development. No tough kid will ever be named Buster.
Yeah, not anymore. It's done. Now it's a
But
mushy kid.
Dino's strong. It's that good Italian feel.
Joey Moncato. Joey Moncato was the bully for my older brother, and I think that name sounds like a mafia guy.
Yeah, I feel like you went to school in Brooklyn or something.
Joey Moscato used to take kids out with a BB gun. Yeah, he really did, though. That was...
that's a true story.
His house, the gate to his house was like right near the playground. So Joey would go up into his house, get his BB gun, and shoot at kids from his...
Sounds very aggressive.
Yeah.
I wonder what he ended up doing in life.
Probably like a doctor or something.
Yeah, a firefighter. He likes to help people. Now he's making amends.
He works with a nonprofit. Yeah, he definitely is like... He's in the mafia, and he's chopping people's kneecaps or whatever.
He's not what they do. He's a professional is what he is.
Yeah.
Well, that's...
Anyways, life is good, though.
Yeah, you know.
I didn't mean to... Yeah. Been doing a lot of races, a lot of traveling. Been doing a lot of writing, trying to do... This is boring, but whatever. It's the truth. I've been doing a lot of writing. So how about that? Is anybody else journaling? Just me? Okay.
Are you journaling? This is a, you're just trying to keep track of what you're doing day to day.
I've started journaling. Yeah. At the end of the day, I just get out the old pen and write down my feelings about the day. But
I was an epic journaler for a long time.
Like, really?
Like an 18-year unbroken string.
Holy.
I broke my arm 5 years ago and have written maybe once a month since. It's a sad habit to have lost.
Because it was your arm that you wrote with?
It was my arm that I wrote with.
Oh, obviously. That's No, it wasn't. But it was just so painful.
It was my other arm had to stand in solidarity with my broken arm and wouldn't allow it to go back to work.
Don't you dare start this up again.
Don't cross the line, scab.
We are broken.
Stay there. Wait, wow. So I also noticed you were writing, you had like, you're keeping track of three things, like a three-thing journal. Like Henry B. Eyring used to do that.
I do, I do a morning thing where I'm writing and I'm doing the evening journaling, the three things in the morning. Yeah.
I don't feel, no offense, Steve, I don't feel like you do enough to necessitate two journal entries daily.
Well, the three things is different because it's not really like a journal. I mean, I guess it's a journal in that you are chronologically doing it, but it's more like, it's like your first thing is, I hope it's okay to share. Yeah, it is. The first thing is something I'm thankful for. And so I write something I'm thankful for. And then the next thing is I write something that I did well the day before. Like a little like, hey, I did that, little pat on the back. And then the third is something that I will do that day.
Yeah.
And it's right. Simple. It's not like I will, you know, build the empire. I don't know. I want to come
whatever ambitious thing might be that.
Yeah, what's something realistically that I probably would write that I probably couldn't do in a day? You know, I will write a screenplay or something stupid like that.
I like this because the other day you woke up at about 10 o'clock and I said, what are you up to today? And you said, I think I'm going to put something funny on social media. And that was like, that was like the whole plan. That was the day was specked out. And I was like, I love our life. How did we get here where this is our jam?
I was writing before that, but
you don't want to overplan these things. Let's just keep it trim and see how today goes.
I think I'm going to post something on Instagram. That's about all I got planned. Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, we do kind of live the dream a little bit.
but like you got two journal entries out of that day. That's what's amazing to me. You still pulled two. You had the morning, you had the evening.
Yeah. Yeah, nothing. I'm not gonna back down on the journal goal.
You're a better man than I see.
So I saw a cloud.
I'll fill that you in. This is, I'm just taking you down how it normally goes. We don't have to do it the way Jeff does it. You know what? You know what's interesting? I've done this show for like 5 years, and I've always done it the way Jeff wanted to do it. We always do a little banter in the morning, and then stories. But that's because Jeff is always pushing me around and telling me what to do.
He's like, I'll tell you what to do, guy. And you're like, you should name your kid that. And he's like, okay, I will.
I just think to myself, I would hate that if my name was actually Guy, because then it's like two entendres. Two of them.
Hey, guy.
He's from Poughkeepsie. Pittsburgh.
Where is Jeff from? Is he from Pittsburgh?
No, he's from California.
Oh, jeez. We were both recently in Pittsburgh. Okay, I don't know if you were recently there, but I was recently in Pittsburgh, and I took the funicular up the hill. Gorgeous view. If we have any Twin West...
I think that's Mount Angel, I think.
Mount Angel, which is just all a bunch of potash from the steel...
It's literally a pile of dirt.
It's just a pile of dirt.
Trash.
Anyways, the funicular was cool, though. It's super old. It's run by a guy who looks really bored.
I think that's just an intern from college.
Yeah.
He's there to understand communications better.
People commute on that still, apparently. Like,
that's a thing. That's a real thing. So I'm out here. I had a quick trip to San Francisco last week, which is fun. I went there and I was the Giants were playing and I was excited to go see them. And so I went to the Giants game, and then about halfway through, I realized that the Giants were the World Series champions and beat my Royals. Jeez. And then I had a terrible rest of the game. I was very disappointed in myself for not remembering this, but the AT&T Park was very nice. It's a lovely.
That's a beautiful ballpark. I've never been to that ballpark. I'd like to go because isn't that like built into the side of a mountain or whatever?
No, not at all. I think it's built again on a pile of potash.
No, you're right. It's on a pile of potash right next to the water.
I like that we call it the ballpark. Like we're 70-year-old men. I've never been to that ballpark.
That's what it's called. Yeah. You say ballpark.
Take me out to the ballpark, huh? Take me out. So I did that, but I tried to do San Francisco with no car. I was just going to Uber it the whole time.
Oh.
Which turns out they have a good public transit system that I should learn.
The BART.
After my first $100 Uber fare that I was like, boy, this Cupertino is way out there. We are really driving.
You seriously paid $100 for an Uber?
I did not know what I was getting into. Because my buddy's like, yeah, I'm in San Francisco. Come visit. And so I hopped in, gave the address. An hour and 20 minutes later, I hopped out. And I was like, I feel like we didn't communicate this thoroughly before I jumped in here. I should have thought this through.
So the Uber driver, he didn't tell you. He wasn't like...
Did not bat an eye. The man was like, yes, sir. Taking you to Cupertino, sir.
Oh, my gosh. On my way. So it was like an hour and a half drive, and he was like...
Well, the beautiful thing about Uber is you get out, there's no cash that exchanges hands. And so, like, it doesn't tell you how much it was until you open the app the next time. So I kind of put it away, had a wonderful afternoon, and then got in to go home. And I was like, oh, boy, all right, finding the Caltrain, that's what we're going to do.
Oh, my gosh. That's also weird to me that he did that, because he's got to drive all the way back. Like,
well, no, you just look for another Uber and hop it along. Well, to be fair, though.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Okay.
You pay me $100, I'm going to drive an hour for you.
Yeah.
I think I'm still making pretty good money. And it's better than little hops where you're making $5 here and there. You know, you do that four times in an hour. He made more money with me for sure.
That's true, because the clock was always running. Interesting. Huh.
Yeah, it was real nice. It was real, real nice. And now I'm in Salt Lake City. Got to hang out with you. We played the guitar. We went to a singles ward for the 31 and older crowd where there was 1,000 people.
Yeah, it is the largest.
It was my...
Ward in the
time.
Church. It's I don't know if anybody knows this, Twim listeners, but I go to the largest ward in the church, and Al was there on Sunday. It's the Parley's 7th ward for the single and older. What is it for? It's for just the single adults. We no longer have the Y in front of our name.
There's no top end. You could be as old as you want and go to this.
No, I think there is. I don't know. I think there's a top end. I think it might be like 45.
What do you do if you're 45 and single and you're like, I'm still young, I can still date 35-year-olds? You're out.
You're out.
You gotta
You're
meet him on
out,
the street.
and you gotta just meet him on the street, on the Tinder, or whatever you
Go
do.
Find a funicular up in Park City.
Take the funicular, dude. Just take it. It's super weird.
The thing that was interesting, so we walked in, and obviously the downstairs is completely used up. We went to the balcony was all full, and we went to the second balcony. There's two balconies. Third story, we finally found a seat. Now, my thought with this is if I am an investigator, if I'm coming just to see, to visit church, I'm not climbing three balconies to try it out. You know, I'm going to say, you know what? I'll come back another time. I'm going to try this again. I feel like it's a mistake to ever let a ward get that big. Don't you have like multiple elders quorums and everything?
We have, I think, six elders quorums.
My God, like what?
There's six elders quorums.
Why would they keep that one ward? Why, like, that could be its own stake.
Yeah, it really could. Yeah, I think, I'm not sure, but my theory is that the thought is, look, they are single and
they don't really care about worshiping Jesus. They really are just here as a big match.com experiment.
We are doing a super study, and we need a large enough test group, and it just wasn't significant until we had 700 people here.
And I'm not even kidding. Like, if we could go to a high school gym and just be a stadium church. This would be a very easy transition.
It would totally be easy, and the AC would be a lot better because the AC on the third floor is not the best. It's kind of hot up there, and Also, you neglected to mention how close we sat, but we sat ridiculously close. I sat in Al's lap, and Al bounced me just a little bit to calm me down, and it was nice. I felt really calm.
Yeah. Well, you were really anxious because of all the women, and
put
you back in your element.
I was so nervous. And I was sweating.
It's a weird mentality, a weird approach to the single life. It's just like nothing makes you feel thought of less than a huge pot that they shove everything in. I feel like the singles scene out here is like they're just like, just make a stew, put them in there, it'll make a stew, you'll be fine.
You know, it's funny because the sweet girl the other day. In fast and testimony meeting, got up and used the word, what did she say? She said something to the effect like...
Incestuous.
No. And she said, like, I feel like we've kind of been forgotten about and that we've just been, like, put under the rug. And, like, here we are in the misfits ward. I think that was it. She said misfits ward or something to that effect.
Yeah.
Somebody who's listening to this will know exactly what she said and go, that was it. But anyways, it was the first time I've been in church and I was like, I think someone's going to yell back. Like, the feeling was like, we are not misfits and this is not the bottom of the barrel. And I mean, it's not. The people in there are incredible.
somebody in the audience is just like, I object. I oppose.
Totally like that. And I felt sorry for her because when you first go into that ward, your brain is so eager to like to start classifying and saying you're in the land of broken toys and stuff like that. And it's not that at all. It's like they're great, great people. And I've had a tremendous time there.
People.
Tremendous. Incredible.
How does one bishop serve 700 people? That's what I want to know.
The home teaching program, I think.
I mean,
I don't know. I think it's maybe too many. You're right.
The sheer volume of bishops' interviews that need to happen in a singles ward times 700.
Yeah,
unreal.
Yeah, it's too many. Anyways,
and there's four of these wards in Salt Lake now, right? Did there used to be one, and now they have four monster wards. For old people.
For the old singles, yeah, for like the 30-somethings. You know, the broken toys.
We are, I object.
we are at least rustier or semi-used people with baggage. Yeah, there's four of them. There's the Fort Union, there's one in Bountiful.
All right, this isn't trivia, Steve. I don't care where they are.
All right, yeah.
Well, we got a
Type
little
in.
Mormon news for
Let's do
everybody
some
too.
news.
This really, I mean, this whole time we could just celebrate Guy's arrival. Jeff is a papa and he
Welcome, guy,
has a
dude.
child, Guy. The more I say that, the more I just want to give him a name like Jason or something.
What is
Philip.
Philip? Okay, that's a good one.
Guy's a great name. Don't get me wrong. Guy's a great name, but it's going to take some getting used to. I know there's nobody in my inner circle with the name. What was it?
Oh, just
Guy.
Guy. Just
Guy.
Guy. It was
That's right.
Guy. I do have one friend named Guy, and he's
You were going to say
see, and I don't want to because
He's a
it
great
seems
guy.
like too much. Yeah. I
He's a
wouldn't.
great
He's a
fella.
great humanoid. Yeah, it's too much.
All right, well, let's jump into some Mormon stuff, Steve, please.
Okay, this is This
So
Week in Mormons.
this is this we gotta talk about the entire week. We gotta get it all together and make it into a show. So the leading story, obviously, is
Is
Russell M. Nelson has been
boom.
through.
Russell
He
M.
got it.
Nelson, next
It
level.
was between him and Dallin H. Oakes in my book, and Russell M. Nelson really pulled ahead at the end there, and he is now the new president of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. Really, it could be anyone that was next in line to be that.
I'm a big Russell Nelson fan. I think he is one of my favorite apostles. You can have favorites.
Go on. What story do you have that has made him your favorite?
Because I went to school to study biology, and I thought I'm gonna go to medical school. I'm not just gonna end up Instagramming. I'm gonna do something with my life. And
Okay.
instead, I decided to become a stand-up comedian, which has also been great. But
Please
anyways.
tell me the story ends with Russell M. Nelson looking you in the eye and saying, "Why did you fail?"
He said, "You're gonna go through those 8 years anyways. Why not become a stand-up comedian?" And I was like, "Good point."
He's
Yeah,
wise beyond his years.
I don't know. I just like
Have
the
you ever
guy,
met him? Did you
though.
ever?
You know what? I have not. So there's no personal relationship here. But
Well, let me step in because I did meet him, and he
oh,
is a
okay.
lovely man.
Well, good.
Yeah,
And
it was one of those. He came and did like a missionary fireside in Ukraine,
oh my
and
gosh.
it was pretty fun. But like they prepared us. Like I guess when he comes, he has like a couple of questions that he asks all the missionaries,
Huh.
and I forget what it was, but it's like, what one thing makes us like is what is the one most important thing in our church? And gosh, I don't even remember what his answer was, but like there was some answer that he was looking for in particular, and I loved it because our mission president, bless his heart, had heard that he always asked these questions, or that he was asking these questions on his tour of missions. And snuck the questions to us. He gave it to the assistants. They said it to all the zone leaders. Everybody went down. He's like, "The answers are this." And
Oh my
so
gosh.
it so he gets up and he's like, "What are you guys? Well, I mean, what's the one most important thing here?" And so we had the strategy. We set up two patsies, two guys to give good answers, not the right one. And then the third one went up and gave the right answer. We played it like a fiddle. We're like, "Listen, buddy, we know what you're looking for." But he's very nice. I think he saw right through it. I'm sure he did. The other thing that was
People
cool is like,
volunteered. Wait, somebody
no, we
volunteered to give the wrong answer?
we
Like, I'll
hey,
screw it up.
we stacked the lineup, man. We had to make it look believable. And so one got up and he's like, "Well, we have a prophet." And he's like, "That's a very good answer, but that's not right." And then another one was like, "Because we have the scriptures." He's like, "That's a very good answer, but that's not right." Last one got up and was like, "Because we are the living church of Jesus Christ." I forget what the answer was, but it was really good. And we were pretty proud of ourselves at the time. No,
Oh,
you know what it might
pre
have been is only a few of us knew, and so we let two other guys go up, and maybe everybody didn't know. That might have been
just
it.
swinging and
The
miss.
other one that I the other story I love of Elder Nelson is he was working hard for us to get a stake in Ukraine. So he was over there working with us. He was sort of over the Eastern Europe stuff for a while, and we got like, I guess they were deliberating and finally got approved. And he ran as an 80-year-old man. He ran to his office and got the phone and called us at 3 a.m. Or the mission president at 3 a.m. said, "You got the stake." It was shouting, "We got it! We got it!" They faxed all the missionaries at 3 a.m. It was a very exciting time.
Wow,
I was pretty happy.
Yeah,
and so that was our fun story of Russell Nelson really bringing his A game.
I like
even as an old guy.
Oh yeah, he always brings it. He's still.
He wrote like a music number, a hymn.
Did he really? Wait, he did?
Yeah.
I didn't know
that's
that.
The thing. And he had it performed in General Conference. Do you remember?
Oh, jeez. This
is the Christ. This is the Christ, I think, was him.
He wrote This I Is believe. The Christ? I kind of want to check on that. Who wrote This
I
Is...
I may be wrong. Hold on. This is...
You know what? That does sound right, though. Are you Googling?
I'm looking it up.
I guess I got to get more specific. Who wrote This Is the Christ?
That was James E. Faust. I made a huge mistake, everybody.
Well,
please, I take it all back. But don't let that diminish what we think of President Nelson. He's now. He's the guy. So congratulations. Well, way to go. Way to be the oldest. The most in order. He's done it.
The most in order. Oh, yeah, because it doesn't necessarily have to be the most, the oldest. It's the next, the most senior is the one who gets,
That's right.
Yeah. But,
you get to pick a story next. You get to pick whichever one you want to talk about, and you lead it.
Okay. Oh, all right. I thought of a story. Here's the thing. I thought of a story that was related.
You can't make up stories, Steve. They have to be actual.
Dang it. Stories. It's got to be about church. One time, okay. It was because I want to share the story about one time when you had to sing the Journey song.
Oh, yeah,
this is
go ahead.
Not related to the church at all, though. Is that okay to share this story?
Yeah,
this made me laugh so hard the other night because I went to the Stadium of Fire, which was Journey. Minus Steve Perry plus one Filipino guy, which was awesome. And
the homeless Filipino guy was now their lead singer, right?
Yeah, found him on YouTube. I mean, it's a great story. Google machine it. Anyways, I was telling Al how awesome Journey was, and Al was in a meeting. This is really your story, and so let me know if I'm sucking at telling it. Al was in a meeting where one of the guys suggested, he's like, at this point in the meeting, I'm going to say, "Just a small town girl," or something
no,
like that.
No, Steve.
What did you have to say?
So the thing, he said, at some point, I'm going to say, "Well, you just can't stop believing." And then he had two Wii guitars that he was going to pull out and give to the two guys who were leading the meeting. And I was supposed to lead in, and we had music queued up. I was going to lead in. She's just a small town girl.
Okay. Yeah, because no one just says just a small town girl.
No, yeah, you can't lead in with that. But he was like, you just can't stop believing. And then that was my cue. That was my cue to go for it.
In a meeting.
The goal, though, was to get everybody singing along. They're filming a reality TV show. And we were trying to get something that was going to make the cut. And so I was supposed to get a room of 50 people to follow along and sing along with this. And being the loud, happy guy that I am, he said, "All right, Al, I need you to make a fool of yourself. You're going to do this." And I said, "Yes, sir, I'm in."
Yeah, you committed. You committed. But then the
fully committed.
Took a total turn because the first guy gets up and says, "Okay, let's just have constructive criticism time, right?" And he's like, "Let me know what I can do better." And people lay into him. They do not even hold back one bit. They're pulling punches. "You are the worst, this and that, and you stink, and you're dumb, and this, and I can't
believe swear words,
swear words.
"Hey, man, why don't you leave your effort, blah, 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 at home? You come in here, don't you ruin my time in this thing. la la la.
Oh my
gosh. So the mood shifts.
There's no need to sing Journey at this point. But the second guy it was his idea to sing Journey just doesn't read the room at all, right? He just is like
oblivious.
Who cares? Oblivious. This is still a stellar idea. And one of my favorite things is he goes forward with it. My second favorite thing is Al got one other guy to start singing with him. His buddy.
So this guy's like, I'm texting him. I'm like, we can't do this. This is a mistake. Abort mission. And he's like, well, sometimes like after, you know, like shouting. And finally there's a break of the tension and nobody's saying anything. And this other guy stands up and says, well, you just can't stop believing. And pulls out a guitar and hands it to the other guy who straight face stands like not interested in strumming along on this guitar at all. Just like dead hands at his side, staring at the other guy. And the first guy's just all jolly, strumming his guitar. Yeah, just can't stop believing. Looks at me and I very timidly, you know, sort of a slow stand. You're just a city girl living in a lonely world. My one other guy who must have been playing on his phone the whole time is just like, I'm in. Let's go, man. Me and Al. Let's do this.
And he just starts standing up, singing along.
Me and Tom carry it almost a full verse before they just gave up. Like, there's music, the music for the PC speakers and the Mac is going, and everybody else is giving me these looks like, what the garbage are you doing?
Did you not just see how we were yelling at the guy who now has the guitar and is shooting daggers at us with his eyeballs?
This is an absolutely true story. This is an absolutely true story.
Just a small town girl.
When they ask, like, what's my most awkward experience I've ever had in my life, it is that first, followed by the time that Steve and I tried to do a podcast into one microphone. Those two things.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
That was a good story. That was a good time.
And I know it didn't have anything to do with Mormons, but it was kind of like how you made those two guys answer the questions wrong in front of Russell M. Nelson. So
you just set it up.
So similar. All right.
The Patsies.
My next favorite story on This Week in Mormons. Okay, it's either
we're doing a countdown now.
Okay, you know what? I'm sorry, guys. I know that this isn't happy news, but that's our job. We're going to make it happy. Soap-making meth student goes to jail. So, the BYU student, what was his name? You know what? He doesn't want you guys to know his name because he's embarrassed. He was making...
The meth student would like to stay anonymous. No, his name was Bryce Kazier. Kazier.
He was only 22. He was a Zubi. We don't know if he went on a mission, right? And that's not in the story.
No qualifying. No, yeah.
Because if he's 22 and hasn't gone on a mission yet, then strike number one. But 20 at BYU, that's a pretty. They're gonna give you a hard time. Anyways. The quote from his, he was making meth, right? But his lawyer says, this is our favorite quote, right? He was making soap. He was also making the extracts from the different oils he was using. So he's making some oil extracts, little doTERRA action. Rub it on your doTERRA addict. Freaking love oils, dude.
I can't leave the house without peppermint. I can't.
I don't.
I actually know people that have said those exact words. That's a real thing. I didn't realize.
Really?
Okay. Yeah.
It's a good idea to always have. Now, Rainier, his lawyer, says further, but he also had some naughty stuff in there. It was a chemistry experiment. It was more personality related. He was not a meth user. He didn't, in fact, make meth.
That's a strong defense. Listen, so he had some stuff. I mean, we all do some oils from time to time.
Who doesn't?
And mostly honest, upright things, making soap and oily things. But to be fair, he had some naughty stuff.
Some naughty stuff. Do you think if you were in the jury or even the judge, you'd be like, all right, so I guess explain naughty stuff? What is he? Just a drop of.
Just a dash of pornography.
Just a quick little dash of porn, maybe a
He
curse
had a
word or
little bit of
two.
naughty in there. So,
Naughty
this is a weird
stuff.
case. We talked about this before. The judgment or the verdict came back off to jail. 3 years probation with 60 days in jail.
Okay.
I feel like this mugshot is going to follow this guy for the rest of his life. I hope not. I mean, hopefully he can.
It's not a good mugshot. He didn't even. It looks like his hair's a little messy.
If you're,
Doesn't.
what the worst would be, what if he was actually just making soap and he's like, I didn't know that meth came from all these. And so now just this kind, sweet soap maker, all of a sudden stumbled into this Walter White scenario where he's all of a sudden the meth king. He
He's
didn't mean to
like,
do this.
wait, this sweet blue crystal is not soap? Oh my gosh.
That's a good. I like.
I don't know. He definitely knew he was making meth. I think it's funny that would I guess there are meth makers who don't use it, but I don't
It's a
know.
thing. They're called dealers.
He's a dealer, maybe.
Yeah, he leveled up.
Unfortunately, Bryce doesn't look like maybe the smartest fish in the
So did.
pond.
In unrelated news, I'm sure it's unrelated. Did you see that the Y Mountain caught fire this week? The
Really?
BYU Y Mountain?
Well, 4th of July was recent. Was it a
They
fireworks
no, they were
situation?
trying to they were, it
They're.
was Chinese lanterns with the fire on there.
Shut up. Really?
Yeah.
Those things
I'm
are. So
a
cool looking, but yeah, they're a horrible idea. I think they look incredible, and yeah, I do love the movie Tangled, but I can't condone them, unfortunately, in any situation. Maybe
Here's the part that I
in the
love that
ocean?
only happens in Provo is witnesses came forward saying they had lit the Chinese lanterns.
That's
So
Provo. I love Provo. I love it for that. Does that
yeah,
happen anywhere else on the planet where people are like, look, we are bad people. We did something
no,
wrong. No.
absolutely not. That is our people. These are our people that are like, I cannot tell a lie.
I love them. I
I've done
love
a
them
thing.
so much because, partially because that's like so honest and I love it, and also because I've had to do that. Because I've been in that situation where I've done something dumb and I'm like, you know what? I have to own up to this. This is how I was raised.
Wait, for real?
Oh yeah, my
Can you
dad. Well,
say what it was?
yeah, I well, when I was a kid, I stole a toy from Toys R Us. Stole an action figure, and my dad's like, where'd you get
In
that?
your defense, that name to a child is deceiving because you're just assuming the toys are now us. They're
Toys
our
are
toys.
ours. Yeah, I was like, this is us.
Okay.
I took it, and I don't feel like I've offended the R in this. But he told me that the police were gonna have to investigate, and I cried, and I cried, and I remember like talking to the manager at Toys R Us and barely getting a word out, just Toy Mac. And he was like, well, and he looked at me for a long time, tears just pouring out of my face. And I don't know how, as an adult, he didn't just start laughing and being like, we're not gonna call the cops, you goofy kid. He played the part with my dad, and he's like, even like picks up the phone and is like, you know what? Okay, I'm not gonna call the cops this time. But don't you dare steal from us
Oh,
again. I mean,
that's tense.
it was heavy. It was heavy. I cried.
I can only assume that the cops did the same thing when these guys came forward saying it was us that lit the lanterns and burned down the Y Mountain. And they said he halfway lifted up the phone and said, "Oh, I'm not gonna call him this time."
He started dialing 801.
They're being fined for the use of the helicopter to put it out.
Well, that's probably not cheap.
Also, it was $500. That's what they got for.
All right.
I'd take a ride. I'd take a ride for $500. I feel like
Yeah.
for them, probably worth it. There's no telling if old if the soap maker was involved in any way in this. I like to think that he might have been.
I wish the soap maker would have came forward. That he'd be like, you know what? Listen, I was making soap, but I stirred in some naughty things. I just put a couple naughty things in there.
The bishop's interview, he says, so I need to tell you something.
I put,
I
there's
love
like,
soap
it's
and I love oils,
nothing.
but that's not all that was in there.
I put some gluten in there. It's got.
Know gluten's not for, I know
I
I'm gluten.
know it's some people are allergic to it, so yeah, it's kind of naughty. So I did it. Who cares?
I mean, it wasn't a lot, it was a little. Speaking of fires, there was one more, an LDS or a LA temple, or no, not the LA temple, and a Los Angeles area chapel was burned in a fire after nearby vegetation caught fire and ignited the chapel.
Lot
The
of
story
fire.
here is that they moved that congregation to another LDS meeting house and all the drama was avoided. So, good work meeting at a different location.
Way to go on the quick action of that. But now, was that also fireworks? I mean, the other one was, I mean, was that also Chinese lanterns?
It very well could have been. It was
Lot
actually
of trouble.
vegetation, but what started the vegetation? Probably Chinese lanterns.
Tangled. It's causing a lot of trouble.
We move to ban, or at least not light them in a very windy environment that will blow them into a mountain. Think of being those kids and watching that go up, and you're like, this ain't good. This is not good. We've made a huge mistake. That is a burning barrel in the sky that it's going to go into that. Oh boy.
Oh boy,
That's it.
it is floating and we have absolutely no control over it. Why did we think this was a great idea?
We've
Well,
made it. Oh, okay. Okay.
It's because of that movie. It's because of Tangled. This isn't.
I like that you're saying that as though I've seen an animated film as a 30-year-old man.
You haven't
I
seen
don't
it?
watch Tangled, Steve.
I've watched it like at least twice. I'm sure of it. Start to finish.
Well, let me rephrase that. I'm a grown man and I'm not trying to date in Utah.
Well, here's my thing. Wednesday, my biggest thing was sending out an Instagram. So I've watched Tangled.
You know what I'm gonna knock out today? We're watching Cars. We're gonna do it.
Boom. And I know that this is not how the show goes. It's not, and that's not the purpose of this, but I read this week. So that's for me, this is This Week in Mormons for me. Found out the guys who wrote Despicable Me 1 and 2, both LDS.
Yeah, the minions were their idea.
Minions are actually just their impression of missionaries right before they go on their mission. They're so freaking funny. I don't know why they're so funny. It's because they don't speak English per se, and that's funny, I guess.
Very witty people.
And they're adorable. They're
We
adorable.
all right, we got
Sorry.
we got to bust through here.
Okay.
The church, and I want your feedback on this. The church owns, like we know, about 2% of Florida, which I just feel like as a church we should be constantly giving ourselves high fives for owning 2% of Florida.
Yeah.
But they are doing a they own this land to make money on it. It's a real estate department that owns this, and good for them. So they're developing this land. They're planning on developing it. It's the biggest development ever planned in Florida, and the Florida Department of Environmental Protection claims that it would have no adverse impacts to water, wetlands, and wilderness, in a one-page report. So it's a they want to build a town of a 500,000 to handle a 500,000 residents with 133,000 acres of land. That's a lot of people.
Half million
I mean,
is
leave it to.
more people than I've ever had on my Facebook account. That's a lot of people.
I just want to imagine like building a ghost town for 500,000 people, and then just, I mean, believing that even in Florida, they will come and find it. They'll be there.
I guess. Right now, according to the picture, there's just cows out there.
Yeah, nothing there. No, so I love the Environmental Protection Agency. It's like, yep, we're all good here. About 1,000 other departments, though, found problems. They want to build a dam for the water to handle 500,000 people. And they're worried that that's going to affect some land stuff and that it's going to disrupt wetlands and all that stuff. A lot of objections to building a city in the middle of nowhere. And then some people are very excited about it, mainly the ones that will stand to make money on this, I'd assume.
The Department of Economic Opportunity, the DEP, they raised some concerns about the development's plan.
What does the DEP have to say?
The DEP looks like the DEP is saying, let's see here, that they are going to have to build a dam, which could cause some harm to the wetlands. So that's weird that the DEP said that, because I think the DEP would be not concerned about that. But I'm proud of them for their concern. Also concerned about having to build roads to the city, somewhat like Sudden Valley.
I've never seen you this passionate.
I'm a huge protector of the wetlands. Dry them up.
I don't know if
you guys know this, but they're soaking wet and we really got to get them dry. They are, we don't want to get them too.
The number one problem plaguing our nation today is our land is too wet.
The wetlands are soaking. I don't know if you've seen it.
And you want the wetlands in California where they have the dry lands, which you want in Florida. If they could just get together on this, people.
Yeah. It's the worst.
Speaking of the church developing, is another one for you, Steve.
Okay. I like development.
They are mowing over the driving range. See what I did there? They're mowing over the driving range at Thanksgiving Point. They want to put in two office buildings there, two church office buildings. I'm all for it. I think the driving range at Thanksgiving Point is silly, frankly.
They don't want
other people
are
I'm guessing
upset.
Club members are against their driving range going away.
That's got to be the only ones who are upset. So you've upset some people who wear polo shirts, which that's
even better
a mild
than the polo shirts
for the upset.
It's like the sporty sheen shirts that like wick sweat.
The Under Armour ones.
How much are you sweating as you walk? No one sweats in golf ever.
A good amount, I guess.
Why do you need a like sport tech shirt in golf? It makes no sense to me.
It's because I don't know. It doesn't make sense. But I bet they feel incredible. Like, those are nice shirts.
Well, in fact, I feel like a lot of golf is just pretending to be a real sport where they're like, you know what else we need? We need, what if we wore a glove like they do in baseball? And they're like, that's a good idea. We should do that.
That's good. It doesn't take a lot of focus to play golf. Yeah, you do have to focus, and it does take a lot of practice, but so does anything.
Don't protect them, Steve. They wear shirts that have too much tech than they need, gloves that are too much tech than they need.
Oh, yeah. I'm not protecting them. I'm just building them up to put them back down. Because I agree with you. I don't think that they – I don't think it's that much of a sport.
You're giving the two wrong answers, so I can come in with a punch at the end.
Exactly. I don't think it's a sport either, and so deal with that. I don't. The reason why it's just too, it's a little too foofy for me. It's like, okay, you guys are playing like you're doing something intense, but we all know that you're not.
That's so true.
It's not.
That's so true.
No, you're just wearing. You're just
I know
wearing
we're
fancy
gonna,
clothes.
We are going to disappoint a lot of our fans out there because I know a lot of you are golfers and you listen to the show while you golf. I know.
Oh,
that.
Sorry, guys. Oh my gosh. You know what? Those shorts look incredible on you,
Steve. You gotta have an opinion, man. This is why we're supposed to be arguing. You've agreed with everything, no matter where. You're so amicable. You're just a very pleasant man.
I'm gonna disagree somehow, but not with you saying I'm amicable.
I have to disagree with that last point.
I don't think I'm always amicable. Sometimes I will disagree. To even say sometimes at the start of that was unfortunate.
right, guy. Grab
All right,
another
sorry about
story.
that. Put the buildings in. It's no big deal. Golf courts can go up.
We support it, absolutely. 1,000 more cars in there. Thanksgiving point is ready.
Which so I got three more stories that we have, but I think I want to talk about this one because it looks interesting to me. Because I think it looks not just interesting, but I think it's good news. It's the Indiana Temple open house time. Opening up July 17th. We got a beautiful shot of the sunset right here. I'm at mormonnewsroom.org. If you've
The link is in the show
if you
notes.
want to take a look at that beautiful sunset photo. But
So,
yeah, little open house action.
do you have
And
dates?
then it's going to be from July 17th all the way through Saturday, August 8th. Then is it dedicated on the 9th? Is that the
No, then the dedication will be
That'd be
the
quick.
23rd. 22nd is the
Oh,
cultural
okay.
celebration.
Because they open a house and then they like, okay, now we got to come back through with some vacuums and some cleaners because even though we make you wear booties and you walk on plastic through the whole open house, you're still gonna get it dirty.
I really hope that the cultural celebration is mainly about the movie Hoosiers. I just.
They, in fact, incorporated some Hoosier stuff in the stained glass here. In some of these photos,
It's
you can see.
they've got some Larry Bird profile
Yeah, they have
shots.
some old Converse and some
Oh, that's
basketballs and
neat.
stuff like that.
That's my kind of celestial room.
I don't know
Absolutely.
that they do, but this could be a basketball. Maybe there's some concentric circles.
See that they put the symbols up there and we get to interpret them however we'd like. In one last
Yeah,
bit
and that's
of
what it's for. Okay.
yeah. That's for us. I'm
Sorry.
wrapping up with our
Anyways,
one last
go
bit of
ahead.
news. The Boy Scouts of America had a unanimous resolution adopted, where they will now the resolution will allow chartered organizations to select adult leaders without regard to sexual orientation, continuing scouting's longstanding policy of chartered organizations selecting their leaders. So essentially, they are allowing leaders to be gay and homosexuals, and so whoever you'd like to be a leader in the Boy Scouts of America, you may now lead. The church responded with a little statement that says, "As a chartering organization, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints has always had the right to select scout leaders who adhere to moral and religious principles that are consistent with our doctrines and beliefs. Any resolution adopted by the Boy Scouts of America regarding leadership in scouting must continue to affirm that right." Essentially, just saying, yeah, that's great. We're all for it. We want to continue choosing leaders based on moral and religious principles that we feel are important. So, assuming that the Boy Scouts of America does not like force the church to put in leaders that they don't deem the right fit or how do they say it, that do not adhere to moral and religious principles that are consistent with the doctrines and beliefs of the church, as long as they don't try and
Okay.
force that, then they have no beef. So currently, as it sits, nothing changes, but the Boy Scouts are moving forward in being a more open, accepting organization. Good for them.
Yeah.
I honestly like. I mean, it's so weird to talk about this stuff because 10 years ago, my
It's
views on.
difficult because, yeah, you definitely, either side of this line, you are going to have people who are upset at whatever opinion you have. My opinion on the Boy Scouts of America choice, I think it's great that they say, yeah, we are accepting to all types. I also think it's great that the church is able to say, we are still gonna choose to select our leaders based on our moral choices. What a fantastic country to be able to still choose who we want to choose, and then also the Boy Scouts of America saying, we accept who we want to
Oh boy.
accept.
Well, I think maybe I lost Steve. But yeah, on either side of that, a little bit. little bit different than what we've grown up with, but I'm excited for where we've landed on it. And I don't know where Steve went. I think maybe he's dead. So with that, everybody, with both Steve and Jeff now probably dead, where I cannot find them ever again, I am the lone This Week in Mormons host, and I will continue this tradition forever. You can join me here next week on This Week in Mormons. You may email me any disagreements you've had with my joking manners, with the fact that I think a golf course should be turned into office buildings, or the Florida wetlands should be turned into a city. You may email them to us at contact@thisweekinmormons.com. Also visit thisweekinmormons.com and leave Jeff a note. Send him a note and say congratulations on the baby, Jeff. Some pun with guy in it, something like that would be great. And I will just love to put that in there. And as always, find us on social media. This Week in Mormons, on pretty much everything. You know where to find us. And that's it. That's pretty much it. So catch us next week. This is This Week in Mormons. Another show is in the can.
Oh, hotel Wi-Fi. Thou art a quality thing.